down to two. It's PWR final week. So, are you Team Wolfpack or Team Circus?
From two cracking semi-finals, we have Saracens against Gloucester Hartbury, and we'll be previewing the last big dance of this 24-25 season.
And we've also got two fantastic guests who are going to join us as we compile the PowerPod Season 15. And don't miss our competition to win two tickets to the final on Sunday.
Yes, the last one of the season, but what a finale we will give it. Because that's Philippa Cuttiot, I'm Nick Heath, and this is the PowerPod. Oh, Phil. We're here. We made it through. It's the last one.
We didn't get cancelled. Yay!
Let's be honest. It was likely to more happen for me than you. Have you had a good couple of weeks? You've been in the Six Nations, running around doing all sorts, haven't you?
I have. Yeah, I've been with the Six Nations. So I was up in Scotland at the weekend. Another loss. But we scored. There were some positives. But unfortunately, meant that I did miss the Women's Six Nations launch. But I understand you were there.
Yes, I did go down. I got the chance to have a little chat with the new Wales head coach, Sean Lynn, who was very excited by four of the under-18s that he's had in the squad, putting the pressure on some of the senior players, turning around over their shoulders, quite literally and metaphorically, and going, oh,
great.
They're really good. So I think, you know, that's what all Welsh fans want to hear, competition for places, all that kind of stuff. And yeah, it was a really good media event, something for everybody, the traditional media and the creators and influencers and everybody. So yeah, if you haven't seen that content flying out already, expect to see a fair bit more from the coaches and captains that were there. But yeah, Women's Six Nations is...
Did you get to go on the boat?
Is just around the corner. No, we weren't allowed on the boat. That all happened. Shame. You always get called to these media things and you get there, no matter, even if the call time's 8 a.m, somehow they've been there since 5:30 and they've done some other shoot that you then find out happened. So yeah, they have to get the official and commercial bits out of the way, I think is the way that works. But yeah, look, here we are at that final stage, and we have got so much to get through in this show. I think we should probably get to just reminding everybody of what happened in these semi-finals just a couple of weeks ago, shall we?
Okay, let's get to it. So think back to Saturday the 1st of March, and it was Saracens 32, Harlequins 24. So look, what a brilliant first semi-final this was. Quinn scoring two early tries and holding on to the lead until the end of the first quarter when Jess Breach, she is officially back, isn't she? I mean, come on. Jess Breach struck for the Saracens on her return, and Saris really didn't look like giving up the lead from that point on. A double from Alicia Corrigan and scores from Marley Packer and May Campbell. Who else? It wouldn't be a game without May Campbell scoring. Mm-hmm. They put 32 points on the board, which was too much despite a late score from Latcha for Quins.
Yeah, great performances on both sides. I think possibly the cutest moment of the whole game, not that I want this against Ellie Kildun, but was that moment where the end of the game, Quins had lost out, Jess Breach is consoling her mate from the rugby rodeo, arm over the shoulder, and for everything that Ellie Kildun has enjoyed and you know, been able to celebrate World Player of the Year, for Jess to be the one with the arm around the shoulder at that point, I just thought, well, what a lovely moment for Jess Breach to be announcing her return ultimately and saying, I think this one's for me, pal. So I thought that was great.
It was a nice moment. And like I say, great to see Jess Breach back 5 months out with that hip injury, that counter-attack that she scored. I mean, talk about gutsy. You look up in front of her and there's a wall of players and she was just like, I don't care, I'm going straight through you. Awesome to see that footwork and a great score. But yeah, a tough one. Sari's discipline, I was quite surprised, was quite poor. They're going to have to work on that next week. I know we're going to get into the preview for the big final a bit later on, but something they are going to have to shore up. But still, as ruthless as ever in that 22, and got the tries they needed.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you, Quins. It's been lovely having you, putting all that pressure on getting into that top four. But Saracens did the business to secure their place in that home final. So the second semi-final then was, of course, the one on Sunday at Queen's home. Gloucester Hartbury 36, Bristol Bears 20. I think one of the more remarkable things about this game is that it finished 5-4, but that scoreline was 36-20. And a bit like the final last year, it was Bristol who went out into an early lead, did so with all the territory and possession over that first 20 minutes, got themselves a 10-point lead through Lark Atkin-Davis and Evie Gallagher. But then Gloucester Hartbury patiently took their turn. El Perry, Sarah Beckett, Emma Singh, with two out of those tries converted out of three. And it was 19-10. Ilona Maher then scoring her fourth and last try of the season as we wave goodbye to her. Millie David scoring a worldie in the corner. But Zoe Allcroft and Hannah Jones making it a winning Gloucester Hartbury performance. Emma Singh in the end bagging 11 points from the boot to finish season golden boot with that. It was a pretty clinical display. Whatever you've got to throw at us, Bristol, we'll soak it up and then we'll win the game.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I mean, they only had 40% possession, 40% territory, and yet they still were that clinical with it. It's that class of being able to defend, whether that storm let Bristol at times maybe run out of ideas. They had so much possession. They were throwing everything at them. But still, fantastic game. I thought, for me, this was the game out of the two. So competitive, so skillful, fantastic tries. But there could only be one winner. And Gloucester Hartbury just proved their class.
Yeah, certainly did. So again, thank you to Bristol. Everything you have brought to what's been an amazing season. Clinging on to get there, you just wonder whether all of those games, those relative cup finals they had all the way to the actual one, probably took a fair bit out of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very true.
Okay, well, now, before we get to our preview for the final, we have a very special little season review.
All right, let's turn our attention to the PowerPod Season 15.
Yay!
So we wanted to compile a Season 15, but we want to do it with the opportunity for some other names to be counted. So do you want to explain how we've sort of come about this?
Yeah, we'll do our best here. So look, we have to acknowledge that when you're going through the list of names that are statistically the best performers through Oval Insights, algorithms and methods, the top names are almost always contracted international players, which I guess is a good thing, right? Because the league's allowing those people that international coaches rate as the very best to be able to perform. But for our PowerPod Season 15, we're going to politely doff our caps to those contracted internationals and rule them out of our selections. That doesn't mean we're ruling out anyone with international caps, though, because we are just going to go with those ruled out that are in current contracted positions. Huge shout out to Sam and the people at Oval Insights who have helped provide some guidance here on some stats and some names to help us out.
Absolutely. And to help us do this, we've recruited two of the best to ever play the game with a 22-year Saracens career, over 300 club appearances. Can you imagine how many socials that must be?
Oh my Lord.
Been out a lot. My God, what a social life. Captain of England Sevens 2, we are thrilled to welcome Sonic herself, Sonia Green.
Yay!
How's it going, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks. Nice to be here. Thank you for that intro.
Well, it's all very true. When did you start playing? When you were 10, was it?
Yeah, thanks. Nice. I like you.
And you're now a very important vice principal teacher, is that right?
I've been doing that a long while. I've been doing both jobs. But what's nice is I've only got one full-time job rather than two. So yeah, it's been a bit weird, actually. It's like, this is what normal people do, right? They just have one job and have a life. I get to go on so even more socials now, but not just rugby.
Still leading them like the rugby champion you are.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. All right. And we've also got the Rugby World Cup winner, 7 years at Harlequins, 80 caps for England. We welcome back Rachel Burford.
Yay!
How's it going, Burf?
Good, thanks, guys. I feel like there must be a side effect that you can do a little applause instead of...
we'll try and put one on afterwards.
Yeah, and we were just saying before you got here, Berth, that like I've got some stories with Phil, with Sevens, but I was like, wait till Berth gets here. I've got even more stories with playing with her for many, many years.
Well, come on. I want one of the best ones.
That's a different type of podcast.
Yeah, wrong podcast.
Hey, look, I was having this conversation recently with the fact that actually all the boys are out there doing these podcasts with our war stories, and people have overlooked the women's game has a history, right?
Oh,
yeah. I remember the first time I played against Berth. That's when you played for, I don't even know what the name of the club was. Was it Thurrock? What was it?
When?
Who did you used to play for? I'm talking years and years and years ago, like when you were still a baby.
Medway.
That's it, Medway. That's the first time I played against you.
Was it?
Yes. Anyway, that's another story. Anyway, more importantly.
Two stories.
Let's
talk
about the weekend.
Let's get into it. We'll go through our season 15, the non-contracted internationals only, and everybody's had a little look over the players that we think are the sort of most relevant to this, partly influenced, as I say, by those stats from Oval Insights, and of course anybody is allowed to look up anyone else that feels relevant. But we're going to go through 1 to 15. Then we will start with the front row, and I know Rachel Burford's worked on hers. She's already got hers written down. I don't know if everybody else has got that far. There's nods from Sonic, and here we go. All right, so as I look at you all on this call, I'm going to go clockwise, I think, and we'll have a different starting point each time. So your number one, Sonic.
Oh, that is tough. I know I should say Keena because she's Saracens. El Perry used to be Sarries, played with her for many years before she moved. But playing with Simi at the Barbars, like, she's the progress that she's made since she was playing Barbars. Was that 3 seasons ago to where she is now? Even just this season. So yeah, Simi Pam
for Sonic. I'm in complete agreement there. You mentioned El Perry. El Perry does have 10 international caps for anyone wondering about our rules here, but the last of them was in 2020 and not currently in the contracted environment. Burf?
I'm with you. Simi Pam for me. I think she's so powerful and has such a big impact on the game every time. I think big shout out to El Perry though, because I think she played more this season. We're probably having a bigger debate between those two.
Phil?
Yeah, Simi Pam, I think she's been fantastic. And it's still crazy to think she's so young, really, in her rugby career. You know, she only picked it up when she went to university. And I love the fact she was in the I'm Powered Differently section. You know, she's a doctor who's also playing rugby to an insane level. So on and off the field, class to have her playing, and she'd be my choice, yeah.
Well, this is going to be very boring if we agree all the way through. But I'm pretty sure I know what's going to happen next, because I think number two's only got one name against it. Yes, all right, Sonic.
Oh, it's pretty obvious. We should just all come on. Like, top try scorer, right?
Yeah.
May Campbell.
Yeah.
Bobby.
Yeah.
Like, what an insane season that girl has had. I mean, I love her as well. She's amazing. Great person, but incredible player. Like, have you ever tried tackling her, Berth? Like, her centre of gravity is insane.
So low.
Yeah, and she's really working on her throwing as well. That's an area that she's been really focusing on. We don't even need to talk about the tries. That's just, amazing. Yeah. But her line-out work is really coming along this season as well. Yeah.
It is mad to think she's only got one international cap.
Crazy.
Like, what it is crazy.
Who's watching this? Hello.
I know. Well, she is, although she's not a contracted player, she is now in the squad, isn't she? The trainer squad for England. So fingers crossed we get to see her. Hopefully not when they play against Wales, but we'll see.
And she's class. Like, the number of involvements and work rate that she gets through for somebody who is half pint size. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and look, we should mention there has been that other little sort of interim squad that's been announced for this particular week leading to the final without the two, the two sets of players that are in this PWR final coming up. A set of emerging pathway players have been invited into England camp this week. Yes. So there will be a few names that perhaps we mention that are part of that. Just to give you a shout, you know, the other names that are around the top of the stats where Hooker's concerned: Lark Atkin-Davis, Amy Kakane, Cleona Maloney, Molly Wright, obviously all into Internationals. Similarly for prop, certainly on the Loosehead side, Hope Rogers, Hannah Bottom and Leah Bartlett, Mackenzie Carson. So these are the other sorts of names that we're not able to mention. And when it comes to the tight head selection, well, Sarah Byrne, Maud Muir, Rory Wood, who made her Canada debut against Ireland at WXV, Delika Menin, Lizzie Hanlon. So it was actually quite hard to go and find a tight head that wasn't international to try and get ourselves a pick. But actually, by the time I started to find a couple of names, I was quite happy with my choice. I'm going to come to Berth first for her selection on number three.
Well, interesting. Is that because I'm a former Quinn? Because my choice is Lizzie Hallen. Because I think the way that she's performed this year has been excellent. I think her set piece is brilliant. We've got to start there. Like, you've got to have your bread and butter. But I think she's really dynamic around the field, and it's almost like she can really challenge some of those current international props and always stands out. Small moments at times, but really has been a standout player. So she's my number three.
Okay, Phil?
Yeah, I agree. However, no, I agree with everything you say, but I was looking at Datisha Harper for Sale because, you know, Sale have had a really difficult season and yet pretty consistently she's one of their top ball carriers. And I always have, you know, when you see a front row that's in the top ball carrying in a scrum that's quite often going backwards, so she's getting beaten up quite a bit, but she's still putting herself out there and working so hard for that team. So that sort of that work rate, and I guess that attitude kind of stood out for me. And I, you know, it's one of those ones where you're like, oh, I wonder, you know, how much more maybe we'd see of her if she was in a, you know, a team that were a bit more, you know, cohesive, a little bit further along in their journey of playing the game. So for me, I'm going to put her out there as a contestant.
Oh, there we go. Okay. I'm going to throw in Laura Keats because I think the fact that Keats is still doing it and has been so good in the matches that she's been in, I think has been exceptional. So we've got three names so far, Sonic.
Mm-hmm. I've got to agree with you. How is that woman still going? Like, you know, the old girls stick together, right? And she has been around since I've been playing. So yeah, incredible when she's come back from some pretty nasty knee injuries as well. Yeah, really great leader on and off the pitch, powerhouse, just like, you know what you're going to get. You know, you need players like that on the pitch. Nothing fancy, but you know what you're going to get. Yeah, I like that's a great, great choice.
And technically so good as well.
Yeah, knows her stuff. I
would be comfortable with Laura Keats because I did write down like shout out Laura Keats because as you say, like those the games that she's been in that have been really pivotal for Loughborough this season, she's been one of the key players to unlocking that performance. So I would be comfortable with Laura Keats.
All right. Well, I think on a slight technicality with Lizzie Hanlon being on a transition contract as well and with 2.5 votes for Laura Keats, then I think Keatsy is in our season 15. How happy is she going to be with that? I'm delighted for her. All right, then. I'm going to come to the second row first to Philippa Tuttiot. You can name a pair if you like. You can do one at a time. How would you like to go?
I'll go for a pair. I'm going to go for Charlotte Frey and Poppy Leach. Charlotte Frey, Tigers. Again, for a team that's had, you know, a bit of a difficult season, they're defending a lot. She is always one of the top tacklers, and not only in the amount she makes, in her success as well. She makes a lot of dominant collisions, and she's just one of those players that I know we talk about Meg Jones a lot with Tigers and her presence, but I just think, yeah, Charlotte Frey is a real workhorse for me. So I've picked her, and then Poppy Leach, because just such a, like, a you know what they say, like, she's just a good egg. She's just such a good person. She does so much work off the scene, which I know isn't what we're really talking about here, but incredibly knowledgeable, complete line-out gnaws, and again, work rate as well. So those would be my two. They ones.
Okay. Any other names in the mix?
But I just want to add about Poppy Leach. Like, it pains me to pick her, but that was a standout name for me. Pains me because, like, playing against her for many years when she's been Exeter. Prior to that, I think it was Worcester, maybe prior to that. I don't know, Bristol. Anyway, should know. But she's just gnarly. You know, like, she's a pain to play against. It must be something about the name Poppy. but yeah, incredible player. But you want her on your team. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think she's the absolute heartbeat, isn't she, down there? I mean, Nick, you must probably know the stat. Like, out of all the games that Exeter have ever played, she's only ever missed one game, which is insane.
Yeah,
that's mad. But
yeah, I think for that work rate element, she's brilliant. And then Charlotte Frey. And I think she's like another dynamic second row baller that we're seeing come through, a little bit like Sam Monaghan type-esque. So yeah, I'm really excited and really pleased that she's got a call up into the England squad to see what she can do in that squad.
Yes, I actually had Holly Cunningham instead of Poppy Leach, but I'm very happy with Poppy Leach as a shout. I just think Holly Cunningham has been a real cornerstone of that Bristol pack over the course of this season, and has been, you know, had the opportunity to train with England as well. But I think we are going with Poppy Leach and Charlotte Frey. Good. Okay, back row. So we've got 6, 7, and 8 here. I'll go first on this one, shall I?
Because there's a surprise.
Nobody's going to be surprised who I'm picking. picking at my number six, are they? No. So Nicole Wythe, who did her shoulder and was out for the rest of the season, but still for about another four games, was topping the stats, which I thought was really impressive. So Nicole Wythe, honourable mentions, Lucy Sams, and then Christiana Balogun, who's been called up during this week as well. Lovely picture of her and Simi Pam as roommates, and they're good mates as well off the field, which we saw this week. So Nicole Wythe is my six. It's Abby Burton for my seven. Obviously, we can't look at Evie Gallagher, Alex Callender, Georgia Brock, because they're in and around that England setup. Maisie Allen could be a shout in there with a transition contract. And then number eight, this is hard. We can't look at Jade Conkle-Roberts, Talia Brody, Rachel Johnson, like Sir Poppy Cleal, Romarcy Mulhern, Daisy Hibbert-Jones, all in the mix. I'm going with the other Poppy. I'm going Poppy Cleal, because I still think if you want someone to do a dirty job for you, she's the woman you want. And she's going to be the threat of the weekend. So those are my six, seven and eight.
And she'll add a little chip and chase in there at the end for you. Yes. Just to, like, spice things up.
Love that.
Let's be honest, who knows the laws of rugby better than anyone than Poppy Cleal? Like, she knows those laws inside out, so...
The look of those fresh referees that they occasionally put on the PWR who make a call in front of Poppy Cleal and she just starts to ask some questions and you go, oh, God. good luck. So those are my six, seven, eight. What about anyone else? Any other names?
I'm just saying, exactly the same as you. Agree with all points that you've put forward. And I kind of feel, you know, Poppy Cleal, obviously, she's still got so much more to give. I think, you know, you'd say if she was any other nationality, she'd still be in the international team. But I do just kind of feel like you mentioned with the chip and chase, like this season, whether she's just kind of had a little bit of that attitude of, I'm just going to play. You know, I feel like she's done everything she can to put her best foot forward. And now she's just like, I'm just going to enjoy my rugby. You know, those little dummies and switches she started doing with the winger, just having a bit of fun and a little chip and chase. So, you know, as much as I hope to still see her on the international field, maybe, but I'm actually really enjoying what she's been bringing to the club as well.
Yeah. Excellent. Beth, anything to add?
No, I've got all those three down as well.
Look at that. Yeah,
Nicole's just lethal weapon. Yeah. Burt's has been awesome. And I think, yeah, Poppy's been really consistent, but also within that consistency, bringing those little moments and really stepping up, which has been a tough, challenging couple of seasons for her, hasn't it? But yeah, she's still turning up and putting her best foot forward, and I think she's been standing out.
Yeah, shout out to Abby Burton. That was my standout, knowledge from Sevens. That was a standout.
Oh, well, complete agreement on that one. This is how harmonious we all are. all right, Sonic, lead us off with your nine of the season that can't be, obviously, the likes of Mo Hunt, Kira Bevan, Lucy Packer, Katie Mattinson. I mean, so big names are out of the question. So hard. Who else do you look at?
It'd 100% been Mo. Anyway, I'm just shouting her out. She needs a shout. But anyway, I know I'm not allowed to pick her. Lucy Burgess, I think. Yeah, she's... You don't always know what you're going to get. I like that. Like, she's... sometimes going to take that little gap and go, which is, you know, similar traits to what Mo brings to a team as well. So, yeah, I've really enjoyed watching her. So, Lucy Burgess.
Okay, Beth?
I found this quite challenging, I'm not going to lie, but I actually think Leanne Infante still had a brilliant season.
Ooh, great shout. Great shout.
I didn't even think of that. Okay, take that back. Sorry, Lucy. Sorry. Yeah.
That's a great shout.
What was I thinking? Yeah.
Yeah, I just think that Leanne still had a massive impact. And then, you know, that big game against Gloucester when Saracens beat them at home, coming out of retirement to help the club out and, you know, retiring on really good form as well. Like, it's still push. Like, she could still be playing and knocking on that England door, in my opinion.
I'm going to let you into a secret. Philippa Tuttiet confessed to me earlier she wasn't sure she had a power play for this week's episode. I've just thought of a new one, PT.
Very true.
Yeah, go on, Phil, your selection at nine.
Well, I didn't think of that, but to be honest, I'm still going to say Flo Robinson, actually, down at Exeter. I think she's had a really good season. I think she's just been very consistent, especially in the first half of the season when they were absolutely flying, the amount of fizz that she was getting on that pass, the front football they were able to play with. And it's just good again to see her giving a shout out into the England squad. She's been in there before, still hunting out that. She hasn't got a cap yet, so I think she uncapped.
No, and John Mitchell is a fan. He is a fan. Almost sort of let slip to me that she's one of those with an outside chance to be a bolter into his World Cup squad. So
there you go.
Yeah, I did have Flo Robinson, but I'm totally taken with the Leanne Infante shout. So are we happy? At least three of us are saying yes to that one. Yeah. All right then. That's Leanne in. Love that call. Okay. What about our 10 then? Who's gonna keep things ticking over at 10?
Oh, this is a hard one. Who wants to kick off? Go on. Tash Jones has been on the scene for a long while. Like, she's done a really sound job for the Tigers, hasn't she? And I think Liv McGovern, like, down at Exeter again. Her kicking sometimes, it's not always been on point, but I think I'd go for Liv McGovern perhaps at Exeter.
Yeah, I had Liv down. But I do feel for the, I swear that girl's been charged down more than anyone else, but illegally as well. Like, she can't try and take a kick without someone running at her. And every time she's like, really? Again? What are you doing? But I put Liv McGovern down as well.
I put Liv McGovern down, Berth.
Yeah, same.
Oh, well, there we go. Complete unanimity. Easy, that's the phrase, isn't it? With Liv McGovern. So well done, Liv. And now we move to our wingers. We could do these in a pair, perhaps. Who's the quickest amongst us? Who's going to take on the role of lead winger?
Come on,
Tatiot.
That try last week. Come on.
Yeah. Well, so Millie David is in with one David. Shout. I don't think there's any argument there. What about the other one, though? Because some of the runners in this, Mia Venner could be in there. Beth Wilcock could be in there. Renika Bonner, the other side of that Bristol setup. Obviously, Ilona Maher is not in a national 15s contract setup yet, but has just stepped out of the Olympics. So I don't think we can really count Ilona. Chrissy Scurfield, another international player. Claude McDonald, who remained a contracted Red Rose, who again has sort of done well. But any other shouts then? So we've got Millie David on one side. And what about the other?
I put Mia Venner in, partly because obviously her skills on the wing, but I just love the fact that you can pretty much slot her in anywhere in that back line. She'll confidently just put herself in. I just think she's got a really well-rounded skill set. She's not, you think of Millie David, you think of gas, right? You think of Renee Bonner, you think of stepping and jinking. And I just think Mia Venner is like an 8.5 out of 10 across every facet that you would want in a rugby player. And I just think that leads to a really consistent performance when we see her. So I've got Millie David and Mia Venner.
I have nothing to add to that. Those are my two selections as well. I think there's a good bit of balance. I think the development of Mia Venner this season has been brilliant. I thought, I can't stop talking about the fens that she got out at Sandy Park in that monstrous performance that Gloucester Hartbury put in down there earlier in the season. I think she's been good. I do think Beth Wilcock has sort of been quietly brilliant as well. Renika Bonner, really felt for Renika Bonner not getting to play in that semi-final. I know Dave Ward sort of said, she was gutted and told me so. And I guess that's the reaction I want from my players. Doesn't make it any easier for Renika Bonner. Berth, you happy with those selections?
Yeah, definitely. And just a note on Mia, I think that there was a point, there's been points in games for Gloucester where they're in the balance and she pulls something out the bag. And it just gives them that oomph to take the game to the next level. And I think she's been super impressive. And she's one of those that are really unexpected. Slight, doesn't look like she's hitting top speed, but she's been brilliant. So, I'd be more than happy with Millie David and Mia Venner.
Good. All right. Well, those are our wingers sorted then. Now to the tricky balance of a midfield. 12, I think, is one of the bigger challenges of this one. I mean, we can't look at the likes of Lisa Thompson, Alex Tessier, Olive Kelter, these sorts of names. Phoebe Murray, Langi Tuima, Carmela Morrell, Nancy McGillivray. These are the sorts of names that are in the mix. Sonic, who have you gone for?
I should go for Bertha, seeing as this is her area of expertise.
All right. Come on then.
Oh, I thought you were nominating me.
I thought about it, but how many seasons have you been? I did think about it. It's the partnership bit. I know who I want at 13, but I know there's a Berth, this is your area of expertise. Come on.
Are we going partners? So you want me to name 12 and 13?
Well, go on then. If it feels like it fits, yeah, let's go.
Yeah, well, okay. So it's actually quite tricky at 12 because I think when Amber-Reed has been playing, she's been excellent. Mm. She's been such a good link player. Defensively, she's always rock solid, organisational skills. But then I also think Langi Tuima, having played the entire season, also brings all of those elements and, you know, just having more minutes under her belt. And then the partnership of Claudia Peña, I think she is an absolute rock star in the making. Mm-hmm. Can't look past her at 13. We could have put her on the wing, but that's vacant.
Peña's internationally capped, though, for Spain.
But is she full-time contracted?
Oh,
counter blow.
Leanne is...
Now I need to check whether Spain have got full time contracts. I mean, that's the wrinkle there. Let's Caleb's going to get onto that for us while we're checking the detail on that. There's an interesting shout that I wasn't sure I might be allowed. Thoughts on that, Philippa?
Yeah, well, I would agree if we can have her. I think she's been standout. This year's PWR, Claudia Peña, just unbelievable athlete, so fast. She's been brilliant for me, but I have got Tuima in at my 12, but outside of her, I've actually gone for Sydney Gregson. Mm-hmm. I think that mature player, again, you can pretty much put her across that back line, 15, 12, 13, you know, she'll do a job anywhere. And then just outside, someone like Tuima who's going to bring the creativity, going to, you know, step in as playmaker to just have a reactional 13, like Gregson, I think would work really well. We haven't even talked about her defense, which, you know, I always love the way she's got like this bow in her hair and she's kind of like just running around the field. And she just nails someone, lifts them, drives them into the ground, sort of gets up. And you just can't be mad with her because she's just so like, oh, hi, let me pick you back up. Let's go again. Like, oh, God.
Sydney Gregson, obviously I've played with her at sevens, but also at Saris. And Berth, you must have played with Sydney Gregson, no? Yeah, with sevens as well. But like her knowledge of the game, she's very, very knowledgeable, which helps get her into those positions, which means she can make those tackles. She's a great defender. She doesn't look that strong. And she'll hate me for saying that. She doesn't look that strong, does she? But when she hits, you sure know it. Her work rate off the pitch, she will be the last person standing in the gym, like putting in those extra reps, extra sprints. Like she's very, very focused off the field as well, which is why she's such a good player. She has had some nasty injuries, but she's such a workhorse that she's got back. She's been carrying a couple of injuries this season. I think that's really the only reason why perhaps she hasn't been playing as many minutes because of those injuries. So.
This is tough because I had Langi. And I've loved the Tuima Sarah Parry combo. So I was very happy with that. I ruled out Peña. Any latest on that, Caleb? Oh, here we go. So the news is that Claudia Peña is not officially contracted because Spain don't have full-time professional contracts. So there's a brilliant technicality for Rachel Burford here. So look, no shout for Phoebe Murray. Carmela Morale, who's gone in into the squad this week, I think she's worthy of a shout, as we mentioned. So we're going Langi, are we? And then, I mean, Amber Reid is a huge shout to miss out here.
We could have put Amber at 10.
Ooh.
Played most of the season at 10, but with 12 on her back.
This is why Berth's here. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Out,
that's very true.
Leanne at 9, Amber at 10. Ooh. Wow. Ooh.
Are we preferring that to Liv McGovern then? This is a late change. But yeah, I'm open,
this is
you know.
A late change.
I don't think we can leave Amber out.
I like that. No. With Leanne at 9. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Sorry, Liv. We love you, but it's. There's a lot of love for Amber Reid in the room, and some of her teammates are on the call. So, former teammates. So that's just the way that works. It is Amber Reid at 10 then. Langi is at 12. And we're looking at Claudia Peña at 13. Love that. Well done, team. On a technicality, indeed. Well, we've got our wingers. So now it's just a debate. Well, probably not much debate of fullback.
I don't know. Debate here, is there?
Should we all say the same name after three? One, two, three.
Emma Singh.
But can we have a shout out first for Gemma Jo Linkins? Because she's just come through the, like, emerged through the programme, obviously now starting at Saris. And she, yeah, she's had a few starts this season. She is so quiet, but she's deadly. And she is one to watch. So okay. I wouldn't put her there yet, but yeah, like when we're having this conversation next season, couple of seasons, definitely keep your eye out on her. But yeah, no, Emma.
And it feels like it's a technicality for us to be able to include Emma Singh because she was contracted, then didn't get the last contract and, you know, has gone away and just proved, you know, what England are missing ultimately. She's clearly worked on whatever it was she needed to work on. Look, honourable mentions, Fran Goldthorpe obviously came into the league with a potential shout to be looked at as a second 15 for England. Merin Doige as well, who's been down at Chiefs. Mm-hmm. You do feel that now John Mitchell must be thinking, well, if I'm having two sets of red roses, two 15s, which he said he wants two people in each position, you are absolutely not looking past Emma Singh. So we've got full agreement on that one.
Definitely. Two seasons ago, we were playing the cup semi at Gloucester and she missed, they'd have kicked it, they'd have been through and it was in front of the posts and she missed it. And that was purely down to the fact that she was young and it was, you know, it's like totally in your head, isn't it?
Yeah.
She had the skill. Like now, look at her. And that was two seasons ago. Look at where she is now. Like that, the progress that she's made in two seasons, the support that she's been having at club, watching her play last weekend. Was it last weekend, the weekend before? Last weekend, semis. Like, yeah, just really exciting. So it's going to make this weekend exciting. Yeah,
it really is. Just to bring in a few of the comments from our power pals on our Insta, Jill Shearer, Emma Singh, Emma Singh, Emma Singh. So I think we're in agreement with that. Rugby girl Ella, Simi Pam. Sorry if her being in the Red Roses training squad counts as contracted. No, it doesn't. You're fine. Power Ranger Brad, who was very good and posted the contract list of players in the group for anybody that needed them. May Campbell, not just 15, but player of the season for him. Simi Pam and Shia Pinnock. So that's certainly a name for that. That second row shout. And not sure if any of the Canadian international players count as contracted players, else they'd make a good choice for a 15 by themselves. And then Isla Grace, Emma Singh, Millie David, Daisy Hibbert-Jones, Simi Pam, Christiana Balogun, all names that we've considered. And Martin Chow, Simi Pam. Oh, he's gone for a full list here. So we'll see how much Martin gets right. Simi Pam, May Campbell, Laura Keats. Yep, we're in agreement there. Delaney Burns is a shout there for the second row alongside Charlotte Frey. Christiana Balogun, Shia Pinnock at 7. Daisy Hibbert-Jones, Meg Davey. That's a good shout, actually. Amber Reid at 10. So there we go. Millie David, Langi Tuima, Phoebe Murray, Renika Bonner, Emma Singh. And then Martin said Meg Davey became Loughborough Lightning's most capped player earlier this season. So he is clearly singing her praises. Before we let you go, Sonic, because we're nearly out of time, let's just run through this team. So front row, Simi Pam, May Campbell, Laura Keats. Second row, Poppy Leach, Charlotte Frey. Back row, Nicole Wythe, Abby Burton, Poppy Cleal. At scrum half and fly half, Leanne Infante and Amber Reid. In the centres, it's Langi Tuima and Claudia Pena. And the back three, Millie David, Mia Venner and Emma Singh. That's quite the side. Sonic, who's going to win the final?
Why are you asking me that? It's a ridiculous question.
Because I know we haven't got you for very long, and that's what I really want.
When people's like, I've been interviewing people today at school, like you always say, "Wait, sum yourself up in three words." The first word that always me is I'm loyal, right? So I've been at the club 22 years, so of course Saracens are going to win. We've got a home final. There's debate about who gets the changing room, but anyway, that's really not that important. But you know what we're like, we're all princesses and we don't like change. So changing room aside, obviously we've got, you know, home advantage, home crowd. We didn't have a great season, did we? Let's be honest. It's been a bit up and down. And then the last few games, we've absolutely smashed it. Just thought I'd get that in about Quinns. Okay, trying to be neutral here and professional. Watching that Bristol-Gloucester game last week, I was blown away. I watched it with all the Saris girls, actually. We watched it the next day. And, like, I think Gloucester are beatable. Like, our style of game, rugby, Gloucester's style of rugby, out of the two teams, I feel more confident playing against Gloucester. I'm going to be really brave and say that. I think if we'd have been playing against Bristol, you saw how Bristol came out and started. You know what happened last year in the semi at home at Stonex, where, you know, Bristol knocks out. I think playing against Gloucester on Sunday, it gives us confidence, gives Saracens confidence. However, their efficiency is insane. So it is going to be one hell of a game.
Yeah, it certainly is. Well, listen, thank you so, so much for joining us. You've got a governor's meeting to run off to, you very important person.
I'm not that important. It sounds important.
Don't do yourself down. We loved your contribution to our season 15 and to your thoughts on Sunday. Let's hear it for Sonic, everybody. Woo!
Thank you. It's nice to see you all. I'll see you on Sunday, everyone.
Yeah, excellent. See you Sunday, mate.
See you there.
All right, bye.
Bye. Oh, so wonderful to have had Sonia Green with us. That was an awful lot of fun, wasn't it? Look, if you're listening, let us know your thoughts on your season 15. Do you agree with ours? Certainly a few unanimous feelings there from all of us. So we say goodbye to Sonic. Berth is going to stay with us as we look ahead to this PWR final on Sunday at the Stonex. Saracens against Gloucester Hartbury.
All right, here we go then. It's all for this now, isn't it? The final. So, Saracens against Gloucester Hartbury. Saracens in their fifth ever final. Their first for 3 years. That's mad, isn't it? Gloucester Hartbury, in contrast, in their third final in a row. Their first against Saracens and at the home of the North Londoners. Saracens with the most tries scored in the regular season. Gloucester with the most victories. From the semi-final, Saracens beat Harlequins with 50% of the territory and 60% of the possession. Gloucester Hartbury did it with just 40% of both. Saracens, 17 penalties. Gloucester Hartbury, just 8.
Yeah, you mentioned that earlier, didn't you? They're going to have to be careful here, aren't they, Saracens? It's about the discipline. And I just, you know, how do you look at that Gloucester Hartbury performance and understand that with so little of the territory and possession, they just bided their time and did what they needed to do? I don't know if you saw, Gloucester Hartbury put out this really cool little bit of content, which was a sort of physio cam. And you could see the physio running around and having the chats with different people as they went on and off the field during that semi-final. And there's a moment That's where cool. Mo Hunt is heard chatting to the rest of her team, and she goes, I know we haven't had the ball and I know we're excited to play, but don't get so excited that when we have it, you're so keen to play, you've got too flat. Trust and keep the depth. And that simplicity of communication at that moment, I thought was really telling about her role within that team and also how well Gloucester Hartbury knew they had to use the ball.
And I find it funny, they've got like this amazing balance of not being complacent. You know, they've got this constant amazing winning record and the ability to win, but it never feels like it's complacent. But there also seems to be this trust in what they can do. Like we saw in the final last year, they go down, don't they, half time. And I remember speaking to Hannah Jones the weekend after that they won that final. And I said, look, half time, were you worried? And she was like, no, she was like, we thought, because it was against Bristol, that their final last year, she said, like, we thought they played really well and they'd play some really good rugby, but we knew he had more in us. So we just knew we needed to bring that in the second half. And that sort of composure, you know, I don't know what you think, but obviously you've been in, you know, teams that have been on this amazing winning run before, to be able to find that balance, you know, of not being complacent, but also having trust and conviction in your performance. And it, I think when you can find that, that's like that sweet spot, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I just think like the whole mentality of how every individual just does their job. And it's like 10-10, but your role, they don't try and do other people's role. And so I think it's why that you can't get over the fact of how individually good they are. But then because they're focused on their individual role, that makes the collective work and allows them to be able to do what they do. And I think that's such a mentally strong piece, like you say there, Nick, with Mo under the post, they're fretting a little bit because they haven't had much ball. And then when they do, they're trying to do too much. It's almost like reset, back to where we were. We know what our role is. Don't get too excited. It's just really that calm clarity to allow them to go to that next level and to go to that next gear. Like their physicality at the moment is unmatched in the Prem. And that's going to be the massive factor this weekend. Having said that, Saracens absolutely have it in the bag, physicality wise. But it's whether or not on the day with all the emotion that they can match that level as well. And that discipline piece that you spoke about, like that's massive for Saracens.
Yeah. Yeah, it has to be. Just incidentally, looking at a few of the other stats over the season, the team of the week tally, with if we sort of lean towards the final, out of those players that have featured in that team of the week, Emma Singh has featured 8 times over the course of the season in the team of the week. Only Sarah Byrne has done it 1 more time with 9, which is also ridiculous. Mae Campbell has featured 7 times. Poppy Cleal has featured 6 times. Mo Hunt, 5 times. So they've had a pretty good spread there. Of appearances. That's out of the top 10 of people who featured the most in that team of the week. Incidentally, which team has the most players in the top 30 of team of the week appearances? Which are the team with the most players in there with 7? Any guesses?
Well, the easy guess would be Gloucester Hartbury, but is it more Harlequins?
Bristol Bears.
No.
Oh, is it? Mm. Okay.
Yeah. They had a few more in that top 30 than everybody else. They had 7. So look, that's how things are set up. We know how both of these sorts of teams are going to try and play. We know, I think, you know, ironically, I think, while Saracens need to watch their discipline, it's the indiscipline of their opponents that Saracens really prey on in terms of their kick to the corner, ruck and maul game, which, you know, or catch and drive game, I should say. But it is, you know, I think, Bristol Bears showing you that you can't show Gloucester Hartbury the red carpet in your 22 because they will take it. They will come in and they will convert and take points. So score prediction time. Rachel Burford.
Why are you starting with me? I didn't even know I was going to be on this bit.
I know. All right, I'll go first. And I don't want Saracens to hate me and tell me that I've told them they can't win it, because they can win this. They totally can win this.
They really can.
And may well. But look, if it was Alex Osterby's last game in charge, I'd probably romantically love something like that, a Saracen story, back to the top, back to winning titles. But the three-peat, the Sean Lynn story, the opportunity for Gloucester Hartbury to make history, and the strength of their team, I am going to go Gloucester Hartbury by 6.
Mm-hmm. Kind of echoing what you're saying there, I think form-wise, don't think about the whole season. If you just look at last weekend, you got to say it's Gloucester Hartbury. They're absolutely flying. I think we're going to see tries on both sides, but I do see Gloucester Hartbury, I'd say maybe even by 12 or 15.
Ooh, that's big. Yeah. Right, Berth, ready?
Right. Well, I might just go the other way just to throw in a different...
Nice.
I'm going to... It's hard because I don't know if I really believe it based on what we've seen over the last in those two semi-finals. But the one thing that Saracens have that I don't think many teams have is that resilience and that mentality of we just won't back down and we will win. And they're praying that they're using a lot of that hurt from the semi-final last season, and being on home turf is an advantage for them. Take massive pride in that. So I think it's going to be a tight game. I hope we see the best of both of these teams. And just to be different, I will say Saracens by 2.
Very good. Ooh. Excellent. Well, there's no prizes other than obviously the title for those players, but we appreciate you. I love someone willing to occupy the other side of the fence. That's what we love. So thank you very much, Berth. It's been brilliant to have you with us and to have your contributions to our season 15 and to our little look ahead to the final. We will let you skip off as we wrap things up. So thank you very much.
All right. Cheers, Berth. So, Powerline. A huge thank you to everyone who has been in touch via the Powerline all season. We've loved hearing from you. So, Nick, who have you got for the last time?
Yeah, we have just had a couple of the ones that have come in. And look, this is from Matt, the Bears fan. There's quite a lot of this. I will try and sort of pare it down, but it says, "Hey PowerPod, I've been rubbish at getting in contact with you. The drama of the PWR, so many games, Six Nations on, almost lost track of everything. Matt will see us on the 16th at the PWR final. Says I may be a bit starstruck, so please forgive me. Philippa's one of my all-time faves, and of course everyone else will be there. So isn't that lovely?" It says, "Come on Gloucester." I've probably jinxed them now. Then also followed up, "Sail Sharks announcements. Wowee, amazing work by KDM and everyone. They're stepping something up next season. Looking forward to seeing the team coaching announcements that we saw that come out. Susie Appleby, WTF. Yes. News, of course, since we were with you. We did sort of know when we went into the last recording, but we couldn't really share. It wasn't public. But Susie Appleby having been let go at Exeter Chiefs. Really sad news for all the Chiefs fans who I know were huge supporters of Susie Appleby's, as are we. But look, decision made by the club. I think it's fair to say that that Tony Rowe and Rob Baxter down there are still rather in charge of a lot of things. I think we'll leave that there. But yes, that's Susie Appleby, unfortunately, at the end of the road. We will try and keep up with Susie and see where she might pop up next. And yes, Matt was watching the semi-finals. Completely agreed with the statement I made a little while ago. Amber Reid, so key for Bears performance. So there we go. Oh, and then one last thing. Is there anything Dr. Simi Pam can't do? No, we love that. And then we had a message from Rob saying, hey team, what are the chances of you guys continuing to pod over the Women's Six Nations? Considering there'll be so many PWR players involved, it'd be great to continue to have your insights if possible. Even if someone else is doing it, you're still the best. We love you, Rob. We've loved your contributions, Rob, all season. Hey, look, maybe Philippa, I'll send a voice note. Philippa can reply. We'll put something out on our socials. I mean, if you want more Philippa Tuttiot during the Women's Six Nations, you can get that, right, Phil?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be back with the BBC and the Rugby Union Weekly, teaming up with Sarah Orchard. So make sure you check that out, because we're going to be having all your latest news, reviews, previews for the Women's Six Nations, and obviously highlighting all those fantastic PWR players as well.
Yes, you cannot contain Philippa Tuttiot's excellent analysis. So it has to find an outlet. And we're delighted she's back with the other woman, everybody. Anyway. All right.
Oh,
one
and
question.
Actually on that, on that, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, so you know I did those social media clips last year. I tried to highlight some of the individual players and their skills that they were showing in the Six Nations. I'm going to be doing that again as well. So Yay. Please check out my Instagram, Philippa Tuttiot. It's a lot of T's, a lot of P's. You might want to Google it to try and find the right spelling. But yeah, please do check that out, because I'm going to be releasing all the fantastic things that we're going to be seeing in the Women's Six Nations in a nice, hopefully digestible 50 to 60 second clip.
Love that. Oh, good. Glad you're going to be doing that again. So last time out, our one question was from Sarah Bonner.
Yes.
It came in my direction. Let's remind ourselves of what Bonds had to say.
If you could star in any West End theatre production, who would you be and on what production?
Well, my dream West End role. Have you ever seen Little Shop of Horrors, Philippa Tuttiot?
Gosh, yes, I have. That's a blast in the past.
There you go. Suddenly see more. That would be my dream role in the West End, because that's one of my favourite songs, one of my favourite musicals. And so playing Seymour from Little Shop. So thank you, Bonds. If you know anyone to get me that little break on the West End stage, then I'd better pick up my singing lessons again. Good. All right. We are into our last Any Other Business. And of course, competition time. You're going to have to be pretty quick. We've got one to win two tickets to the PWR final. What a fun day it is going to be. But you've got until midday on Thursday to like the post on our Insta, tag someone else, and we'll let you know if you have been successful. And other bits of news. Harriet Miller-Mills has retired from rugby. At one point, for me, the very best in the world. So wishing Harriet the very, very best. Also heard that Ollie Bishop and Adam Dowsett have left the coaching setup at Trailfinders. I know Ollie was involved in some of the defence there. We had this in our little roster for our Any Other Business news, was that news on Susie Appleby. So we do send Susie our very best. Philippa, it's time for the last PT power play, please.
Yeah, and you know what? There was so much good rugby happening, wasn't there, at the weekend? So many good tries. But I just thought I'd do something a bit different. And I just want to pull out a player who, you know, doesn't always score the try, so maybe doesn't get the vocals that she deserves. Fantastic player for Harlequins, your number 8, Jade Conkle-Roberts. And I thought last weekend in particular was incredible from her. She made the most amount of carries and the most amount of tackles of any player on her team. Of any player of her team and the opposing team. Of any player of any team last round in the semi-finals out of anyone. Now, quite often you might have one standout for tackler, one standout for carry, but it's rare that you get one player who beats everybody on both the tackle and the carries. Mm. That is Jade Conkle-Roberts. Incredible work rate. I mean, she couldn't have given any more to that team. And just super excited to see her go on now to the Six Nations, into Scotland, and see what she can do. You know, when we've got the Lions, sorry, I'm still going. For anyone who can't like see it, that you could see he's raising his hands to clap. I'm like, no, Nick, I'm still going. Just because, like, you know, when we talk about Lions, and it's quite prominent at the moment, because obviously there's the men's Lions tour this year, and they're talking about performances in the Six Nations and who are they picking and blah, blah, blah. And I was just watching this game thinking, Jade Conkle-Roberts is my number 8 for Lions. Like, done, you know? Just fantastic. So yeah, slightly different, you know, but I wanted to give her the praise. Just a fantastic player that we've got in the PWR. And yeah, so Jade Conkle-Roberts, last power play of the 2024-2025 season. Congratulations.
You've also reminded me that we've heard news of the Lions chair for the Women's Lions, which is going to be Carol Isherwood, one of the OGs, a brilliant, brilliant choice. So good luck to Ish in that role. Lions number 8, Alex Matthews is going to have something to say about that. That's all. I'm just going to leave that there. Philippa, it's been an absolute pleasure. 20 full episodes of our Power Pod. I'm not used to the 6 a.m. alarm call, but hey, it's been an experience. Thank you so much for all of your contributions over the course of the season. It's been a real pleasure.
No, oh, thank you, Nick. And echo back to you, because this was your baby and you were the one that put in all the groundwork to get this up and running. So thank you for bringing me on your journey, and let's hope that it continues next season.
Absolutely. Thank you to producer Caleb as well, and to ultimately all of you for listening. It's been great to have you along for the ride, and have you as devotees of the Power Pod. The Power Pod is a Level production produced by Caleb Matombwa. Enjoy the final, everybody, and have a great spring summer. Yeah, sure. One of those.
Yeah,
bye-bye for now.
Bye.